The human being or insan has two natures. One is his instinctive animal-like nature, whose purpose is to drive the human body and to keep it in its survival mode in this plane of existence. And we said this is tabi'ah. And we said every human being also has a second nature, which is far more superior. It is his natural disposition that is more innate in him. It is a God-given, divinely inspired nature that lasts beyond this body. And we said this is fitrah. This confusion between fitrah and tabi'ah plagues most human beings. And as we develop this subject, you will see that the more we separate these two and we begin to see that truly I have two natures within me, two dimensions within me. One that is very simple, very basic, very animalistic, an instinct that only drives my body, and one that is divine. The more you will find it makes more sense in how we approach spirituality. This confusion between tabi'ah and fitrah, by the way, is not just something that confuses human beings. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended to create insan, even angels were confused about these two. If you look at Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2 of the Quran, verse 30, Allah tells us of the time when He wanted to create the first prototype of the human being, which was Nabi Adam alayhi salam. Before He did that, He said to the angels, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. And remember when your Lord said to the angels, I have decided that I shall create a representative of mine on this earth. What was the response of the angels? قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ. Oh Allah, are you going to create a species that will create mischief on the earth and spill blood? What they're saying to Allah is, do you really want to do this? I mean, we're not saying anything, but we are there. وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. Here we are, we celebrate your praise, we proclaim your sanctity. Why do you want to create this creature that has so much anger, so much lust within it, so much uncontrolled power? It's just going to run amok and create havoc. Now when you look at the world we live in, you just have to turn on the news. The angels were onto something, isn't it? Because we live in a mad, mad world, isn't it? How many times have you questioned humanity? How many times have you said, I wonder why Allah even bothered to create human beings? I mean, look at the things we do. Look at the stories you hear. A mother cutting her baby into pieces, people slaughtering each other. We just can't live in peace with each other, right? We have invented ways of torturing each other beyond anyone's comprehension. Our imagination is being used to create weapons of violence, of destruction. We pollute the environment, we kill, and then we try and fix things, and then we create a bigger mess. And why did Allah bother? Allah says to them, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know something that you don't know. What is it Allah knows the angel does not know? I know that they have fitrah in them. You, the angels, when you look at the world, you are seeing 7 billion caterpillars. I am seeing the one caterpillar that becomes a butterfly. That one butterfly is so important to me, it is worth creating 7 mad, insane caterpillars to get that one butterfly. Allah knows the capacity, the potential of this human being. فَإِذَا نَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. O angels, when I blow into this creature that you think is just mad and full of lust and anger and desire, full of tabi'ah only, when I blow into him of my spirit, then you fall into prostration before him. That spirit that I blow into him will have my attributes. I am Rahman, his fitrah will always call him towards mercy. I am Al-Jawad, his fitrah will always call him towards generosity. Look at your own nature. You will find that all those names that are Asma'ul Husna for Allah, the beautiful names of Allah, those are the qualities that you like within yourself. And their opposite is what you dislike, because it is wired in you. Even if you don't like studying, even if you do not want to go to school, even if you want to just remain the way you are, illiterate, if I call you ignorant, you do not like it. And if I call you intelligent and wise and knowledgeable, you are happy even though if you can't read and write. Because it is your nature to love al-alimu. If I call you strong, you feel good because it is in your nature to love al-qadiru. If If I call you weak, you dislike it because it opposes Al-Qadir. So within you is that potential. Within you is the ability to unleash attributes. If you can only control your tabi'ah with your fitrah, you become a mirror through which divine attributes shine on the rest of the universe. That is why Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says, أَتَزْعَمُ أَنَّكَ جِرْمٌ صَغِيرٌ وَفِيكَنْ طَوَى الْعَالَمُ الْأَكْبَرُ. Do you think you are some small, insignificant life germ in this universe when within you is contained the entire universe? You are a microcosm of the macrocosm. The whole universe is contained within you. You are so weak compared to other creatures. Look at the animals around you. They are bigger, they are stronger, they are faster. They can devour you in seconds. But look at your ability to understand. You can explore the outer limits of the space. You can go to the bottoms of the ocean. You can do amazing surgeries. You can rescue these other massive creatures. They have remained the same for centuries. Look at how you have changed. And inshallah, before we die, if we evolve from this caterpillar state to this butterfly state, to this fitra-oriented individuals, then the change is so radical, even though outwardly we may appear to be the same, but the change is so radical that it would be like looking at two different species and not believing that these two species were once one in the same. Which is why we're giving that example of the caterpillar and the butterfly. And if we can learn to distinguish between these two, then suddenly the path towards Allah becomes clear. Tabi'ah is only for the body, but my real self, which is my soul, is driven by fitrah. Then my focus changes. I am now more concerned about awakening my fitrah as opposed to giving in to my tabi'ah. I begin to realize I am not the physical entity. I am not the physical body that I look at in the mirror every morning. When I disidentify from the body, then excessive obsession with materialism begins to sound absurd. I no longer find any meaning in giving so much importance to the material world. When we die, a lot of things change. We struggle in this world to shatter this ego. But if we don't, when we die, it still shatters because it is associated with the brain and the brain does not survive after death. So when we give excessive importance to the body and to the material world, then when we wake up in the next world with our souls, without this body, we wake up to something that is very startling and shocking. We come to realize that we had our priorities wrong. We begin to see that when I came to this world, I was like a caterpillar. I was in a worm-like state. My purpose in this world was to evolve, for a spiritual metamorphosis to take place, so that I emerge into this beautiful creature, into this spiritual butterfly, so to speak. But because I was completely identified with the body, and because I forgot I had a soul, and that this soul is driven by its own divine nature called fitrah that was sleeping and potential that I did not unleash and awaken, therefore I have remained a worm or a caterpillar and not become that butterfly. Perhaps this is one of the meanings that Amir al-Mu'mineen, when he said, "Annasu niyamun idha matu intabahu." The people of this world are asleep. When they die, they wake up. In other words, he is saying we are in a slumber. Most of the human beings you will encounter are asleep. You might find them alive. They appear to be alive, but they have stopped questioning what life is all about. They get up in the morning, they go through the cycle of life, their day ends, the next day is the same, the third day is the same, days become weeks, weeks become months, months become years, they grow old, they die. Then they wake up. Our challenge here is to wake up before death, which is another hadith as well from the Messenger of Allah, peace be on him and his family. He said, "Mutu qablan tamutu." Die before you die. The second die is not in your hands. The first die is in your hands. That is why he tells you to do so. Die before you die. Meaning die to your egoic self and wake up. Become born again. Let your qiyamah happen while you are in this physical world. In another hadith from the Messenger of Allah, peace be on him and his family, he said, if you wish to see a dead man walking on this earth, a man whose resurrection has happened already, then look at Ali ibn Abi Talib. Meaning he has crossed and traversed the boundaries of death. For him, there is no surprise after death. لَوْ كُشِفَ الْغِطَى لَمَزْدَدْتُ يَقِينًا. If veils were removed and the hereafter became apparent, it will not increase my certainty or my yaqeen. It will not increase my certainty or my yaqeen.